Honorary Sergeant Allman. Good morning, sir. I guess for you, more like good evening. Anyway,
yes,
I'm Charles
is.
Warner with the Union Daily Times. Nice to speak with you.
Nice to speak with you, sir.
Okay. All right, let me go over this. I got some basic information that they sent me. You're at Camp Leatherneck, Afghanistan. You're a 2nd Marine Aircraft Wing Forward. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. 2nd Marine Aircraft Wing Forward, Marine Aviation Logistics Unit 40. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and you are, your full rank is Gunnery Sergeant / E7 Robert S. Allman, and your MOS Aviation Airframes Division Chief. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Okay, so you're an MOS Aviation Airframes Division Chief for the 2nd Marine Aircraft Wing Forward Marine Aviation Logistics Unit 40. Okay, I'm just trying to make sure I've got all that flows right. Okay?
Okay.
All right, sir, you're a native of Union County. Is that right? A 2007 graduate of Union High School?
No, I graduated in 1994.
1994, okay. Well, for some reason they put 2007 down for you.
No, I've been in the Corps for I think 6 days, and I'll be in 17 years.
17 years in the Marines. And you're 35 years old,
yes,
right,
sir,
now. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, 35 years of age. Okay. Let's see. Well, anyway, what I want to talk to you a little bit about is your experiences in Afghanistan, Camp Leatherneck. Where is Camp Leatherneck exactly? Or can you tell me?
No, I actually can't.
Okay.
But you can look up Bastion, Camp Bastion, Afghanistan.
Camp Bastion.
Yeah, Bastion.
Right, okay.
And that'll actually give you a good bit of information.
Okay. All right, so just go on the web and look that up, Camp Bastion. Okay, but, I mean, you can't tell me if y'all are, like, in the eastern or southern part of Afghanistan or anything like that?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
But that will give you your answers.
Okay, Camp Bastion. Any particular website I need to go to look at that?
No, you should be able to just Google.
Just Google. Okay, Camp Bastion.
Yeah.
Right.
I know it sounds kind of weird, but certain things they won't allow us to say.
I understand completely.
Because it's not a secure line.
Okay. Well, it's going to go in the newspaper anyway, so I guess that really isn't secure.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay.
Right.
Okay. And you're based out of MCAS, Beaufort, South Carolina. That's I'm not familiar with the military acronyms. MCAS, what does that stand for?
Marine Corps Air Station.
Marine Corps Air Station. Okay. Okay. All right. This is, I believe, your second deployment to Afghanistan. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. When were you first deployed there?
In 2001, I was with the group of Marines that went in and took over Kandahar from Al-Qaeda.
Okay, with the Marines who went into Kandahar and took it from Al-Qaeda.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, can you tell us a little bit about your experiences during that time? What did you do?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Go ahead, when did y'all get into Kandahar?
Got in Kandahar the end of November of 2001.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we came out February of 2002. I was actually deployed, I was with 26. Marine Expeditionary Unit.
26. Is that 26? Just a 2-6, all right? 2-6 Marine.
Yeah, 2-6 Marine Expeditionary Unit.
Expeditionary Unit. Okay.
We was on board of the USS Bataan, one of the Navy ships.
USS Bataan. Okay.
It's BATAAN.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
And then after the Trade Center bombings, we was the closest ones, and they activated us to, well, not really activated us. We was already cruising around in the Mediterranean.
You said then after the what? I was saying
they activated us, but wasn't really activated. We was already scheduled to deploy into the Mediterranean Sea.
After the bombing, something about bombings?
Oh, right after the Trade Center bombings in New York.
Okay, right after the Trade Center bombings in New York, okay.
Yes, sir. They sent our group of Marines in to take over Kandahar. It was the last stronghold for Al-Qaeda.
Okay. Marines into Kandahar. It was the, did you say, last stronghold of Al-Qaeda?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. I take it Al-Qaeda didn't leave quietly.
No, sir.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
But quickly.
Quietly, but quickly. But did leave quickly. How long did it take y'all to run them out of Kandahar?
It was less than a day. I think the actual, I can't remember the exact time, but it was about an hour for the stronghold. And, of course, the time that we was on the ground there, we always had constant resistance of people trying to come, Al-Qaeda trying to come back in.
Okay, the time that we were on the ground there, we had constant resistance from Al-Qaeda trying to come back in. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I take it you were under fire at that time yourself.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Can you tell me anything about the fighting during your time in Kandahar? Or was it just hit and get, or was it sustained?
It went in spurts. Sometimes it was, they got these Chinese rockets. Sometimes it was attacked with those. Sometimes it was actual gunfire from the outer range parts, a regular firefight. So it just went in spurts.
Okay. All right. They had these Chinese rockets. Sometimes they attacked with those. Sometimes it was, what else?
Like sporadic gunfire.
Sporadic gunfire. Okay. All right. So y'all dealt with that for about from the time you got there till the time y'all left in February of 2002. That was pretty much it. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Now you're at Camp Leatherneck, and you're right now. I'm just trying to understand. You were part of a combat expeditionary unit when y'all went into Kandahar. Now y'all are you're heading up. The maintenance of aircraft, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Tell us about some of the work you do now at Camp Leatherneck. What do y'all do exactly? I mean, well, like here's one question that people might be mm-hmm. curious about. The problems with the aircraft, is it more due to enemy action or more due to the environment, maybe?
Actually, both, and the amount of hours they fly.
Okay. Okay. Both and the amount hours they fly. Okay.
We fix pretty much. Well, for my division here, I can't say exactly how many actual Marines I have, but I have. I guess I can do.
You can give it to me in days.
That's the best way I could get it. see here. Well over Well,
I don't want you giving away any secrets or anything.
Group thing. Yeah, yeah, that's trying to break it down.
Okay.
Well, I have the airframes division is comprised of, we have 8 work centers. We do anything from metal work, hydraulic work, welding, machining.
Anything from?
We do non-destructive inspections.
Okay, from metal work to what else? I'm typing as we're talking.
Metal work, welding.
Metal work, welding.
Machinists. Hydraulics.
Okay, hydraulics.
Yes, sir. Tire and wheels.
Okay.
Non-destructive inspections.
Non-destructive inspections.
Yes, sir. Hazardous materials.
Hazardous materials?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What is a non-destructive inspection anyway?
It's basically a skill set to where they detect cracks that you can't see with the eye on aircraft, welds, high stress parts. They can do like liquid penetrant inspections, map particle inspections, X-rays, ultrasonics, and eddy current. Different techniques to, of course, X-rays, just like if you went into the doctor to get a chest X-ray, we X-ray the parts. Liquid penetrant is a fluorescent dye that we put on the parts, and through a process, we can actually have the liquid it gets magnified by black light.
Mm-hmm.
Do ultrasonics. It's pretty much like a ultrasound for whenever a woman's going in with a pregnancy. We induce sound waves into the parts.
Mm-hmm.
Magnetic particle is we take a non-ferrous metal and we magnetize it so that you create an extra north and south pole in it if it has a crack, and it seeps in these really fine metal flakes into the crack.
Right.
It's just eddy current is much like an EKG.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you think things like X-rays, ultrasonic, liquid penetrant, black light, magnetic particles, that sort of stuff, to find out any cracks or damages that are not visible to the human eye. Is that right?
Yes, sir. The black light is not a process. It's just, well, it's not an actual method. It's just a process to a method. You can leave that part off.
Okay, well, liquid penetrant, then. I can leave it like that.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Magnetic particles. Okay, all these are used to find cracks and damages and other damage to aircraft that cannot be seen by the human eye. Is that right?
Correct. Our repair, as far as the airframes in general, like I was saying, it can go by high time on aircraft parts, battle damage by different weapons.
What sort of damages are you looking at?
Regular wear and tear.
From gunfire, explosives, from the elements, that sort of thing, extended airtime, all that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah, actually all of it. RPGs, like you said, gunfire, just bullets, IEDs, which is...
improvised explosive devices.
Thank you. we do those. We actually, our work center, we have good relations throughout the compound, the camp, and we actually work on a lot of the ground size tanks, their vehicles, trailers, and stuff like that, because we have a lot more capability than they do.
Okay.
So we actually go around and pretty much work for everybody. We actually designed the EOD hook, which is EOD is you guys that go out that tries to disarm the IEDs and stuff and bombs.
The EOD.
We actually designed a hook for them.
Designed a hook for the EOD?
Yes, sir.
EOD, what's EOD stand for?
EOD is Ordnance Disposal.
Ordnance Disposal. And this hook helps them do what? Pick up the IEDs or remove them or something?
Yeah, we give them a safe distance for actually, you know, instead of them going up there and trying to separate wires with their hands, you know, and then they don't really have a large distance from the bomb or the IED.
Mm-hmm.
They can actually put them on the end of these rods that extend out X amount of feet, and they can separate it that way. It gives them a, you know, a good bit of distance away from the blast zone.
Right.
We made not really a technical name for them, but it's like a rake that drags by the vehicles, and it actually pick up an IED prior to the vehicle getting in the area. We helped design some of those and build them.
So this is this hook that acts like a rake almost, picking up an IED before a vehicle reaches it. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and those rods that, if I'm understanding this correctly, this hook, they hook it onto the front of their vehicles and they use it to pick it up like that, or do the bomb ordnance teams use it separately?
Yeah, the member of the team will use it. It just in their hands. If you could think of kind of like a telescoping pole,
mm-hmm.
sort of, it is stand out X amount of feet and it has the hook on the end, and they actually use it with their hands. It's still out exposed in the area,
mm-hmm.
but it just you know, certain bombs, they only have a like a kill radius of X amount of feet. So we try to use that to extend out to get them out of that kill zone.
Get them out of the kill zone. Okay, this is for the teams. And is there a separate thing you put, like that rake thing you put on front of the vehicles? Is that separate from this hook, or is that the
yeah,
same thing?
Yeah, that's separate.
Okay.
It's separate. It's kind of the same. Well, the actual hook I'm talking about, it's small enough that they can separate two wires. The rake on front of the vehicles, they're huge. You think like a kind of like a bulldozer, got the bucket way out front,
mm-hmm.
and but it's actually extended out a little further, so it actually set the IED off before you get in the area.
Right. Okay. All right. I see. Okay. All right, so y'all basically designed these two things for them, the hook for the ordnance people to deal with the IEDs and keep them out of the kill zone, and the rakes to go in front of the vehicle so it sets off the bombs before the vehicles actually get there. Is that right?
Right.
Okay, well, that sounds mighty handy, mighty handy.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so, basically, if I'm understanding this correctly, in addition to repairing aircraft, which by that means, I guess, would be helicopters and jets and stuff like that, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. Y'all also repair ground vehicles as well. You help the other teams repair their ground vehicles, and you design this stuff to help keep American soldiers and Marines alive.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I actually had some guys that was using it, and the very next day they was out in the field using it, and they come back thanking us because, you know, it just made a world of difference for them.
Came back the next day and thanked us for it. It made a world of difference for them. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. I take it you're saying these devices, the rake and the hook, these were the guys that came in and thanked you for them. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Fantastic. Well, let me ask you this. Some folks might want to know this. I know you had to do the fighting in Kandahar with the Marine Expeditionary Unit. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that was by the way, when you said 26 Marine, is that 26 TH or 26 ND or just 26?
26 TH.
Okay, 26 Marine Expeditionary Unit. That was back in 2001, 2002. Okay. Do y'all come under a lot of fire at Camp Leatherneck from the Taliban or the Al-Qaeda?
Truthfully, because this is my third tour, it don't seem like a lot to me. But we do get, I guess, our fair share.
Seem like a lot. This is my third tour, so it don't seem like a lot to me. But we do. Did you say we do? We do what?
We do get a fair share.
Get a fair share. Okay. All right. Have you had a lot of interaction with the locals, the local Afghan people?
Well, yeah.
Well, how?
We actually do.
What has been your experience? Go ahead.
My particular division, we work a lot hand to hand with the British, Air Force, the Navy.
Okay, British Air Force and Navy, is that right?
Yes. Well,
yeah, okay.
Pretty much all of the branches of service for the United States. And also for the British, and they do have Navy and Marines.
Service or branches of the services for the United States and the British. Is that right? Okay.
Correct.
So y'all work with them. When I was talking about the locals and whatnot, I was talking about the Afghans. I'm taking it you don't have a lot of interaction
right.
with the Afghans these days.
No, actually, we do.
Okay.
We do. It's pretty minimal. We have several groups that actually train them to become Afghan soldiers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's actually Afghans employed around different camps.
Okay. I guess the question that I really want to know is, the Afghans, are they glad we're there, or do they not like us? Do they just put up with us? What's been your experience?
No, they're actually very thankful. They really are. If I'm just sitting here, coming here and, you know, and trying to...
Pardon?
Trying to help out their country in general, it's, They do a lot of stuff for the community,
okay.
for the local
okay.
areas and all.
Okay, so they're very thankful. We're very thankful. We're here trying to help out their country. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So basically, they're happy to have us here, and that we're trying to help them. So, okay, well, that's good.
Yes.
See, there's a lot of debate in this country right now about whether we should be in Afghanistan or not anymore. And I mean, you know, and if the people want us there, it seems like it's not a bad idea to be there. So anyway, that would seem that way anyway. But you're saying that the ones you've interacted with do seem to be very thankful that we're there.
They do. If you would ask me that question 10 years ago, I wouldn't have thought that way. But I didn't have the same type of relationships or anything either.
You know, if you'd ask me the question 10 years
ago. A whole different type of mode.
Type of mode. So pretty much when you were having to fight in Kandahar, you would not have said that they were very welcome to have us. But now, 10 years later, pardon?
Yes, yes.
Okay, but 10 years later, and you're saying this is your third deployment to Afghanistan? I thought this was just your second.
This is my second to Afghanistan. I'm saying third combat. Second to Afghanistan and one in Iraq.
Okay. Okay, second to Afghanistan. Okay, my apologies. I got a little confused. Okay.
I'm sorry.
But anyway, so 10 years later, working with the Afghans themselves, they do seem to be happy that we're there. Okay. Anyway, you said you also served a combat tour in Iraq. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, where were you in Iraq?
Actually, I was all over. My job at the time there, I bounced around the whole country. Was in Al Asad, TQ. There's a place called Fob Duke, KV. It's a whole, you know, you got different strategic points throughout the country. And my job was basically I rambled from one to the other.
Were you in a combat unit at the time?
I was.
Okay. All right. Okay. What led you to join the Marine Corps? I mean,
that's real interesting.
You've been in 17 years. what led you to join the Marine Corps?
It's a hard one for me to answer. I was I didn't even know what the Marine Corps was, to be honest.
Okay.
I was working at Milliken, matter of fact, the Gillespie plant, and you know, working the rotating shift there, and had a newborn son, and knew I wanted the pretty much just do something with my life and you know, make his and my wife's life a lot better.
Do something with my wife and make. And what did you say about your wife and son?
Make my wife and son's life better.
Better. Okay, so you joined the Marine Corps. Okay, and apparently you'd like to.
Yeah.
Been in there 17 years.
Yeah, yeah, I can't complain. It's been very good to me.
Well, 17 years later, you got a newborn son. What is your son's name, may I ask?
Oh, no, that's when I joined. I had a newborn son. I actually have three kids now.
Okay. Three children. Now.
Matter of fact, that son is 17 now.
Okay. Well, this was
and
was,
his name
was the
is.
I was trying to make. He's 17 now, and he could join the Marine Corps himself. Would you encourage him to do so?
He's actually wanting to join. I want him to go to college first, and come in as an officer. But you know, it's his choice. And if he wanted to join, then no, I wouldn't be upset about it. It's been good. It's a brotherhood that I'm grateful for. So I couldn't really knock it. I wouldn't have any heartaches about it.
Wouldn't have any heartaches for it. Is that right?
Right.
Three children now. He's actually wanting to join. I want him to go to college first, come in as an officer. But it's his choice. Is that right? Okay. Okay.
Yes.
All right. What's your family's names? I mean, if you want to share that. I mean, they gave me your mother's phone,
yeah.
Your mother's name and phone number, and I can maybe call her and talk to her too. But Is your family living down at Beaufort with you? Oh, well, they're not in Afghanistan with you, I'm pretty
sure.
But I mean, they're down at Beaufort.
No, they're not here. Yeah,
okay.
They're in Beaufort.
Okay, family. And
my wife is Kinsley Allman.
Okay, hold on a second. Beaufort.
K-I-N-S-L-E-I-G-H.
Kinsley, what was the last name again?
Allman, A-L-M-A-N.
Oh, I thought you gave me her maiden name. That's why I was asking.
Oh, like I'm
Kinsley
sorry.
Allman.
Oh, no.
Okay, Kinsley Allman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what's your children's
name? My oldest boy is Kane Allman, K-A-I-N-E.
K-A-I-N-E, Allman. Okay.
Yes. My daughter is Kylie. It's K-Y-L-E-I-G-H.
K-Y-L-I-G-H.
L-E-I.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
Okay.
And my youngest son is Jace, J-A-C-E.
J-A-C-E. Okay. Good. Good. Okay. All right. Anyway, how long are you going to be in Afghanistan on this deployment? I mean, when did you get to Afghanistan on this deployment?
I got here, let's see how I can actually put it. I think I remember when school started. I actually got here before school started.
Okay. So it was early. So it was maybe sometime in July or August or something, or June or something like that.
The second one.
August.
It was right around August 1st.
Okay. Around the 1st of August. And how long is this deployment going to be?
That's still to be determined.
Okay. Right. Oh, and by the way, when you were deployed to Iraq, what year was that? Or was it more than 1 year?
2005.
2005, back. All right. Any message you'd like to give to those here in Union? Any words or anything like that? I know you probably have contact with your family, but anything you'd like to say to your friends or people who knew you from high school?
Really, yeah, well, you know, of course I like to put something in there to my mother, wife, and kids, you know, hey, and I love them. To friends and people of Union, I appreciate the support over the years. You know, I've always, when I come back home, you know, it's always been terrific. You know, everybody, it's nice to see familiar faces also.
I appreciate the support over
but
the years.
But I would...
When I come home, well now, what about when you come home?
You know, it's just always wonderful to see friendly faces, familiar faces.
See friendly faces, familiar faces. Okay.
I would actually like to put in there that, you know, my heart goes out to the Brewington family. I did get wind of a little bit of that.
Okay. All right.
And I did see somebody shot me an email telling me I guess they just recently did a big I guess charity event, like a 5K.
Yes, it is.
In honor of his family.
Mhm.
And you know it's really awesome that you know the community is getting behind them to help them out.
Community has gotten behind them, helping them out. Okay, that's good. I was going to ask you about that if you'd heard about him, and but anyway, so you beat me to the punch. Anyway, okay,
yeah.
All right, but anyway, and so you give your love to your mother here, who still lives here in Union, and to your family who are living in Beaufort now. Anyway,
yeah.
Anyway, is there anything else you'd like to talk about before we go? I know you're probably busy.
I pretty much live here. I hardly ever leave. My Marines are always trying to get me to go home or go back to the to my room.
Right.
But
okay.
Let's see. I got a bunch of friends that's doing music in Union,
mm-hmm.
and if I could give them a shout out, we're doing great things with that, trying to put Union on the map with a lot of positive things going on. And I guess I could just put that as it's Noise Records.
Noise Records.
That's what they're going by. Yes, sir.
Okay. Shout out to them for putting Union on the map. A lot of positive. What'd you say? A lot of positive what? A lot of positive things going on, or something?
Something in that nature.
Okay. Were you in a band or anything? It says on. And I saw the information they sent me. You write music or you compose music? Is that correct?
I'm I help them guys out. I've been helping them out for years since I travel around a lot to different countries and different states.
Right.
Kind of tied in with them, help them out with that type of stuff, I guess, marketing and all.
Okay. Help his friend with marketing. Because of all the traveling you've done, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So your friends, who makes up Noise Records here in Union County?
T.J. Jeter.
T.J. Jeter?
Yes. David Scott.
David Scott.
Yes, sir.
S-C-O-T?
S-C-O-T-T.
Okay. There's two ways to spell it.
Yeah.
T.J. Jeter, David.
And Drew Owens. Owens.
Okay, Drew Owens. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so collectively, they are Noise Records, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Okay. Normally what I do when I write a story about someone is I try to call them back and go over it with them, to review it with them, if I can.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that with you. Unless there's some way I could reach back through and call you or anything like that. Okay. Well, I'm going to work this story up, and I'll email you a version of it so you can take a look at it. And just get it back to me and let me know if there's any problems. Okay?
It sounds terrific.
All right. Well, Gunnery Sergeant Allman, thank you for speaking with me. And I hope you like the story I write.